ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः Very good. Welcome back. Welcome also to the many students attending these classes online. We continue with our study of this chapter of the Uddhava Gita, which really resembles chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita, where it's talking about all vibhutis, all the glories of the Lord. And one way of understanding this whole, you know, it's fairly lengthy, and it's also repetitive, but in a positive way. Usually repetitive means, you know, you get bored. I don't think that's the case here at all, because when you're repeating, in our meditation, we repeated Om Namah Shivaya. Tell me, in repetition of a mantra, is repetition boring? I don't think so, at least not for me, and I think for the vast majority of you. There is something very profound and deep in that repetition, and that is, each repetition of the mantra establishes you in a bhava, in a feeling, in a meditative condition, more and more deeply. If you recite Om Namah Shivaya once, it doesn't invoke much bhava, much feeling, much meditative depth. But when you go on, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, that repetition leads you deeper and deeper. Here, each verse leads us deeper and deeper, not into a meditative condition, but into what we'll call Ishvara Bhava. Ishvara Bhava is a constant appreciation of Ishvara's presence in our life. In fact, it's an aspect of Karma Yoga. We're not going to talk about Karma Yoga today, except to observe that Karma Yoga is a way to live full-time sadhana, not 24/7. You're not awake 24 hours, but all day long to have sadhana. How? That's the goal of Karma Yoga, to live a life of day-long sadhana every day, not just when you come here to the ashram, not just when you go to a temple, but constant sadhana. And cultivating Ishvara Bhava is a really important aspect of that, because Ishvara Bhava means to have that feeling of being in Ishvara's presence constantly. It's easy when you're standing in front of an altar. It's easy in certain other conditions. If you're studying a Uddhava Gita, for example, at home, it's easy. But to have it throughout the day, to have it while you're driving down the road, how? How to have that feeling of being Ishvara's presence while you're driving down the road? That's the purpose of this chapter. If you can appreciate that the road you're driving on is a manifestation of Ishvara, if you can appreciate that all the other cars on the road are manifestations of Ishvara, if you can understand that the drivers of all those cars are manifestations of Ishvara, by cultivating that Ishvara Bhava, you get to this condition where you never feel separate from Ishvara. That's the goal, to never feel separate from Ishvara. And to reach that goal, how? Just as reciting Om Namah Shivaya once doesn't culminate in a deep meditative state, in the same way, by saying you are non-separate from Ishvara once, doesn't lead instantly to that Ishvara Bhava. To reach, like in meditation, to reach that bhava, we need this repetition that we see in this chapter and that we saw previously in chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita. So with that introduction, we will pick up the thread here and go through another series of verses that will help us better and better appreciate the fact that we are always in Ishvara's presence, an expression I used in an earlier class. We are walking through Ishvara, living our lives within Ishvara. So we'll see that as we continue. Okay. As always, read the translation as I'm reciting, and then repeat after me. Dharma namasmi sannyasaha. Dharma namasmi. I have the wrong raga. Dharma namasmi sannyasaha. Dharma namasmi sannyasaha. Kshema nama bahirmatihi. Kshema nama bahirmatihi. Guhyanam sunritam maunam. Guhyanam sunritam maunam. Mituna nama jastvaham. Mituna nama jastvaham. Good. All right. So the pattern is the same as the pattern we saw in Bhagavad Gita. Among all these, I am the best, Sri Krishna says. Among all those, I am the best. What about of the four stages of life? Chatur ashrama. Four stages of life being brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi. Brahmachari, student. Grihastha, householder. Vanaprastha, retired. And sannyasi, monk. And not surprisingly, dharmanam, among all dharmas. Here dharma could mean religion in particular, but here it means religious practice, and in particular the stage of life, because he says among all dharmas, asmi, I am, Sri Krishna here says to Uddhava, I am sannyasaha. Now, why sannyasa? For at least two main reasons. One is it's called antima ashrama, the final stage of life, the stage of life in which you devote 100% of your effort to spiritual matters, spiritual growth. That complete dedication. By the way, do you have to wait until you're 80 years old to devote your attention to Ishvara? In fact, Bhartrahari, in one poem, he makes this hilarious comparison. He says, if your house is on, I'll just tell you the punchline, so to speak. If your house is on fire, it's too late to start digging a well. So the idea is when you're approaching the end of your life, it's too late to begin a spiritual practice. Okay, you get that very clearly. There's another reason for singling out sannyasa. And sannyasis make two main vows. Our Buddhist friends have hundreds of vows. Our Christian friends have other vows. We have two vows. One is obviously sannyasa, renunciation. Anything that doesn't directly contribute to spiritual growth is given up. Anything that's an obstacle to spiritual growth is given up. That sannyasa, tyaga, renunciation, is the first vow. Second vow is simply ahimsa, sarvabhutebhyaha abhayam. Let there be fearlessness for all beings. A commitment not to cause any harm whatsoever. And that ahimsa being the central principle of dharma. So here we're back, dharmanam. Among all practices of dharma, sannyasa is foremost because it involves a vow of sannyasa, to not cause any harm. An interesting example of that, I just recall this, decades ago when we had just come to the ashram in Pennsylvania, they have acres of grass surrounding the cottages, at least, yeah, acres of grass, and that grass needs to be cut, and they use this riding mower. So this is in the 1980s, late 80s, Pooja Swamiji was watching someone drive this mower, one of the students, one of the volunteers, and a volunteer asked Swamiji, do you want to try? He did. So with his traditional robes and his big white dadi, safed dadi, how's that? He got on his got on the mower and he went. He got off after just a moment or two. And the student says, why did you get off? And he says, I don't like the idea of cutting grass. Look at that. That sense, it, by the way, grass needs to be cut. We understand that. But he had that kind of sensitivity that he didn't even want to cut grass. Okay, then, kshemanam abahirmatihi kshema. There's several ways of taking it here. I think the better way is one, those who are protected. By the way, one beautiful aspect of Hindu culture that you may take for granted is that of sannyasa. The fact that a culture supports those who choose to give up conventional life and dedicate themselves to spiritual life. Monks. I don't think it's not unique among Hindu culture. Christian culture also has monks. Just that the fact that a culture should recognize such value in others having the freedom to become monks, that those monks are supported financially, they're given food, given alms, etc. So in that sense, kshemanam, for those who are protected by society, what about them? Abahirmatihi. They are blessed with the opportunity for, bahirmati means when your mind is extrovert. Mati, mind, which is bahihi, outside. But here, abahirmatihi, when their minds are introverted. So society protects these monks to allow them to have introverted minds. And that, according to Sri Krishna, is a greatness. He says, that is my greatness. I am the introspection of the minds of those who have renounced worldly activities. Guhyanam, among all secrets, and he's going to talk about secrets here in terms of maunam. Maunam is a spiritual practice of not speaking, not talking. And since we're talking about sannyasis here, we'll continue to talk about sannyasis. Some take the vow of maunam. They vowed not to speak. But Sri Krishna adds an interesting adjective here. Sunritam. What kind of maunam? Maunam that is sunritam, sincere. Sincere maunam. Why would he use that adjective? And the reason is there's such a thing as non-sincere maunam. I'm laughing because through history, there have been a couple of, in modern times, famous sannyasis who practiced maunam, but always carried along with them a small blackboard. And they would always be writing. Now, writing instructions to their followers, writing teachings. Now, I presume the point of this maunam was to be introverted, introspective, right? Why would anyone take the vow of maunam? It's not for the sake of not speaking. Not speaking is not a virtue in and of itself, but being introspective is most certainly a spiritual value. So if Maunam is to support introspection, what's the idea of the blackboard? That's insincere. Or years ago I told this story when I went up into the Himalayas for the first time. I went to a cave where I met a Mauni Baba. This guy had been living there for 10, 15 years at that time, practicing Maunam. And he didn't seem to me to be particularly introspective when I came there. Some of you remember my story. He was reading the, Times of India newspaper. What is the point if you're going to live in a cave and then read the newspaper? Do you see the... And then further, the idea of being insincere is he had some people taking care of them, and he would snap his fingers and point and and convey to them non-verbally what he wanted to do. Okay, this is not sincere Maunam. Sincere Maunam means you sit in that cave alone, or you simply avoid speaking with people for the sake of spiritual introspection. Then last one here, Mitunanam. Among, there's several ways of taking couples, but couples coming together for the sake of procreation, making children. And he says, among all couples who have come together for the sake of procreation, who is the most extraordinary example? Sri Krishna says, among all of them, aham, I am ajaha. The unborn one could be a reference to Brahmaji or Brahmaji. We'll leave it as Brahmaji. Because Brahmaji, yes, I know Brahmaji has a consort known as Saraswati. That's a fact. But in the creation of the universe, Brahmaji was on his own. Saraswati did not participate. That's another story. It's not connected here. Brahmaji alone created the universe without any help or support. So Sri Krishna says here, Mitunanam, among all those who caused the creation, all those who produce, he says, I am Brahma, the one who did it completely alone. Then, continuing to develop our Ishvara Bhava. This whole verse is about time. I still hear that beeping out there. See if you can find it. Check downstairs. Anyway, go. There's that beeping coming from out there. It's very mysterious. They're trying to find out where that's coming from. Okay, let's see this next verse. Samvatsarosmyanimisham, samvatsarosmyanimisham, ritunamadhumadhavau, masanam margashirshoham, nakshatranam tathabhijata, nakshatranam. Okay. Time, he says. Asmi a nimisham. Nimisham is that which is momentary. A nimisham. Among that which is continuous, Sri Krishna says, asmi. We have to break these words apart. I am samvatsaraha. I am the year. So we live in a continuous flow of year. We have experienced so many years already. We will experience so many more years. And Sri Krishna says, I am that flow of time. I am the passage of year after year. Ritunam, and among seasons, as we know, years have their seasons. Among those seasons, I am, Sri Krishna says, I am Madhu and Madhava. These are words that describe, usually these words are not used. The commentator says that Madhu means the month called Chaitra, and Madhava means the month of Vaishakha. These are springtime months. So Sri Krishna says, among all seasons, I am the 2 months that constitute spring, springtime, all the flowers bloom, masanam, among all months, marga shirshaha aham. I am that cool month of marga shirsha. Notice we're going through a pretty hot month here, and much of India has been cooking like anything in the 40s, very hot. So not surprisingly, if you live in a hot climate, marga shirshaha, the winter month, is considered the best. So Sri Krishna says, I, among all months, I am that blessedly cool month in winter. Nakshatranam, among nakshatras, could be stars, or better here, constellations, which are constantly changing. He says, tata, in the same way, I am the constellation known as Abhijit. I know nothing about astrology, so I'm not even going to attempt to explain that. Now, this verse says that Sri Krishna is present in our lives. Ishvara is present in our lives as the current of time, the flow of month after month, year after year. More than several years ago, when we were studying Mahabharata, we had one of the most extraordinarily beautiful verses in the whole epic that describe how our lives in the current of time are like pieces of wood floating on a river. And the metaphor goes that if there's a river flowing, the pieces of wood floating on this river, they come together and they float down the river together for a while, and at some point they separate and they continue flowing down the river. Then they get connected to other pieces of wood. So constantly in that flowing down the river, you can imagine pieces of wood being in contact with first one piece of wood, then with another, then maybe in a big pile of wood, and then big clump, we'll say a clump of wood, small pieces of wood, twigs, let us call them. So twigs floating down the river, so a single twig, a pair of twigs, a whole bunch of twigs flowing down the river, and again, a single twig, life. As we go through this current of life, constantly changing. Sometimes we're alone, sometimes we're in a pile. When you have a family gathering, you it's like a pile of twigs, according to that metaphor. So this is the current of time, and this Ishvara Bhava means to recognize Sri Krishna is, or Ishvara is, that current of time, bringing other people into our lives, bringing us into the lives of others. This is Ishvara's beautiful current of time. Then, one more line about time, then we'll get another topic. Aham yuganam chakritam, aham yuganam chakritam, dhiranam devalositah, dhiranam devalositah, dvaipayanosmi vyasanam, dvaipayanosmi vyasanam, kavinam kavyahatmavan, kavinam kavya atmavan. So yuganam, among all yugas. Yugas are eons, periods of time. There are four, according to Hindu mythology, four yugas: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and the current so-called Kali Yuga. We won't discuss this at length. Sri Krishna says, amongst all these four yugas, I am Krita, which is another name for Satya Yuga. So the first of the yugas, and conventionally these yugas are presented as decreasing in sanctity, holiness. So the Satya Yuga was the most divine, most saintly yuga. Then stepping down to Treta Dwapara, and our current Kali Yuga is considered the most irreligious yuga, and which will continue to the end of this kalpa, and then we start again with the Satya Yuga. So Sri Krishna says, among those yugas, I am the most religious. I am the Satya Yuga. Then our topic of time is over. Now we go to the authors of scriptures, all the rishis, all the sages. Dhiranam, among the ancient sages, Dhira here refers to those committed sages. He says, I am not just one, but two, Devalaha and Asitaha. These are very early rishis. They come in just a handful of stories, and I don't even know those stories, but they're given here as an example. Among all the great rishis, I am the two greatest of those rishis, named Devala and Asita. Next one is quite surprising. It says, Vyasanam, among all the Vyasas, we'll find out why it's plural in a moment. Sri Krishna says, Asmi, I am, Dvaipayanaha. Dvaipayanaha is the character who comes at the very beginning of the Mahabharata, and he is the associated with Veda Vyasa. But what's interesting, so this particular Vyasa, what do you mean by a particular Vyasa? This one Vyasa, Dvaipayana, among all the Vyasas. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, and that is Vyasa that we know as the compiler of the Vedas, as the author of the Mahabharata, and as the author of the 18 Mahapuranas cannot possibly be one historical person. Even the Mahabharata could not be written by one historical person, much less the Mahapuranas. Mahabharata, 84,000 verses. Add up the 18 Mahapurana, I think you have 200,000 or 300,000 verses in the 18 Mahapuranas. Cannot possibly be the work of one historical person. And here we have some support for that. Vyasanam, among all of them. So Vyasa here is a family name, as it is today in North and West India. It's a family name. And the Sanskrit root, Vyas, means to compile. So it's a family of those who compile. Compilers. It's a family of editors, so to speak. And here, Vyasanam. In that lineage of Vyasas, Sri Krishna says, I am Dvaipayana. Famous in the beginning of the Mahabharata. Next one is a little obscure. Kavinam, amongst poets. Sri Krishna says, I am Kavyaha. I am the one who is called poetry. I'm the poet. Among all poets, there's one poet whose name is poetry. Huh? And he says, Atmavan, who is very wise, very enlightened. I had no idea what he's speaking about. You look in the commentary, and the commentator says, this is Shukracharya, a son of Bhrigu, who was kind of a difficult, if you know the stories about Shukracharya, he was quick to anger, and he seems like an odd choice, but I guess he was also, in the mythology, the son of Bhrigu. Bhrigu was one of the greatest of all the rishis. So perhaps as a son of Bhrigu, when Shukracharya was not in a bad mood, let's presume he was writing beautiful poetry. I'm just kind of making some wild assumptions here. So here, notice the emphasis on scripture. We're going to see some changes in just a moment. In ancient times, these stories about the story of Mahabharata, story of Dwaipayana, Vyasa, story about Shukracharya, these stories were constantly told, so always on people's minds. So when Sri Krishna says, I am those people about whom you tell stories, this is Sri Krishna inserting himself into the daily life of ancient people. Now, in our lives, when was the last time you had a conversation about the rishis Devala and Asita? You probably have never discussed those particular rishis. So this is ancient culture. It's not our culture. I joked with you a couple of classes ago that we could convert this into modern culture. So who do we talk about today? Not Asita and Devala. Who do we talk about today? Well, political figures, but let's leave them out of the story. I don't think we want to talk about politics right now. Outside the realm of politics, who do we talk about? You know, in some, this isn't my thing, but for many, especially for many men, talking about sports figures, football players, cricketers, and all of this stuff. It's a big thing. So, you know, among all soccer players, Sri Krishna would say, I am who? Is Mardana? Is that his name? Someone. Anyway, I have no idea who is who in all of that. But among all football players, soccer players, I'm this. Among all cricketers, who's the most famous? I have no idea. You tell me. Okay, whoever you say, I agree. What do I know? How, and actually in a prior class, I gave some examples. Among all entrepreneurs, Sri Krishna would say, I am Elon Musk. The point is that this was culturally relevant in ancient times. We have to look at it also in modern times and understand that the greatest cricketer shows the glories of God. The greatest entrepreneur, the greatest scientist. I gave the example, among all scientists, Sri Krishna says, I am Einstein, etc. So this is the idea. We can see the same glory of God manifest in great people in our lifetimes, whoever they are, these great people. By the way, when the scientists they like to say that every scientist becomes great because they stand on the shoulders of others. So now you get a picture of one scientist standing on the shoulders of another scientist. So Einstein is standing on the shoulders of, you know, whoever it is who's standing on other shoulders, standing on Newton several generations back, further and further. Well, this whole stack of scientists, if we can call it that, they're all standing on Sri Krishna, metaphorically speaking, standing on the shoulders of others. In this way, Sri Krishna says, I am the glories of all who are great. Then, where am I? This one. Sorry. Vasudevo Bhagavatam, Vasudevo Bhagavatam, Twam tu Bhagavateshwaham, Twam tu Bhagavateshwaham, Kim Purushanam Hanuman, Kim Purushanam Hanuman, Vidyadranam Sudarshanah, Vidradranam Sudarshanah, Bhagavatam, among all those who are blessed. Literal word, meaning of the word Bhagavan is one who is endowed with blessedness, sanctity, holiness. So among all who are holy, he says, I am, not surprisingly, I am me. Vasudeva, Sri Krishna says, among all who are holy, I am me. I am Vasudeva, son of Vasudeva, meaning the incarnation that we know as Sri Krishna. Then, Bhagavateshu, among all those who are devoted to Bhagavan, so Bhagavan and Bhagavata is one who is devoted to Bhagavan. Among all those devotees, aham, I am, tvam. He's talking to Uddhava. Among all who are blessed, I am me. Among all those who are devotees, I am you. Interesting language. Greatest of the great. So Uddhava here is singled out as being extraordinarily devoted. And then, kim purusha nam. Kim purusha is an interesting word for someone who is sort of human. Purusha, person. Kim purusha, what kind of person is that? Is kind of making the idea of it. What kind of person is that? Kim purusha nam, usually they're represented as being part human and part animal. It's a category of deities, part animal, part human. And here Sri Krishna gives as an example, I am Hanuman, the one who has ape-like features in addition to being human, the one who is most powerful, also most intelligent. And then finally, Vidyadhara. Vidyadhara is a shortened form, Vidyadhara. Is another category of deities. There are a bunch of deities that dwell in the antariksha, which means not on this earthly plane and not in heaven. They dwell in between. Who dwells in between? The Gandharvas dwell in between. Yakshas and Rakshas dwell in between. Also, these Vidyadharas is another class of deity that dwell in between. Among all of them, I am Sudarshanaha. I had no idea what this... This is not Sudarshana with a reference to Lord Vishnu. This is a quasi-deity. And I had to look it up. There's an obscure story in the same Bhagavata Purana that Sudarshana gets cursed by the Rishi Agniras to become a snake. I've never seen that story before. Anyway, Sri Krishna points out among all these Vidyadharas, these celestial deities, I am this one. Then, Ratnanam Padmaragosmi. Ratnanam Padmaragosmi. Padmakosha Supesha Sam, Padmakosha Supesha Sam, Kushosmi Darbha Jati Nam, Sukhosmi Darbha Jati Nam, Gavyamajam Havishwaham, Gavyamajam Havishwaham, Ratnanam, among all jewels, Asmi, I am. In modern times, diamond would come to your mind because diamonds are most costly. But diamonds are usually clear in color. And apparently, Sri Krishna likes more colorful things. So he discounts diamonds and says the Padmaraga, the gem that has the color of a Padma, of a lotus, usually ruby, that kind of reddish gem. Among all gems, I am the colorful rubies. Padmakoshaha Supeshanam. Supeshas is that which is tender. among all things that are tender. I am Padmakosha. I am the lotus. I am the petals of that lotus. And Dharbajati Nam, among all species of grass, Kushaha Asmi. There's one kind of grass, Kusha grass, which is used in Vedic rituals. Not surprisingly, Sri Krishna says, I am that grass. And Havishu, among Havis is that which is offered into a sacrificial fire, Havis. Among all sacrificial offerings, Aham, I am, Gavyam, Ajyam, I am Ajyam, Ghee, which is Gavyam, produced by cows, coming from cow milk. So these references are to with regard to rituals. Rituals were part of their daily lives. Rituals are not part of our daily lives for the most part. So suppose we try another, I call these cultural translations. If we try to translate this, what is, rituals aren't in your daily life, but something that is in your daily life is technology. So let's try this. Instead of Sri Krishna saying, I am present in all the rituals of your life, here Sri Krishna is going to say in my cultural translation, I am present in all the technologies of your life. So among all technological inventions, Sri Krishna would say, I am the microchip and the transistors inside those microchips. How about this? Among all computer manufacturers, I am IBM. Or how about among all manufacturers of commercial technology, among all manufacturers of commercial technology, this is an easy one. I am Apple. Huh? How could it be anything else? Among all manufacturers of commercial electronic equipment, your cell phone, your laptop, your whatever it is, Apple, your iPad. So the idea is to see in the greatness of things that are in our daily lives. And this, honestly, the cell phone that's in your daily life is a miracle of technology. Imagine yourself just 50 years ago. Most of you can easily imagine, 50 years ago. What was our technology like 50 years ago? 50 years would be 1950s. What kind of technology did we have? Radio, televisions were brand new in the 1950s. Computers filled up giant rooms and had less power than your cell phone. 50 years ago. Think about that cell phone. There's a funny story. Somebody gave a cell phone to a chimpanzee. And the chimpanzee is watching some video on it, and the chimpanzee thought it was magic for that chimpanzee. Imagine taking that cell phone to some aboriginal culture who has been isolated from modern times. They would think it's all magic. You take it for granted. Sri Krishna is saying here, don't take it for granted. Ishvara's glory in the form of your cell phone. This is Ishvara Bhava. Absolutely. The amount of intelligence in your cell phone is mind-boggling and is growing year by year by year. This is Ishvara's glory, even in the form of your cell phone. Okay, let's see a few more. Huh? Yavasayi namaham lakshmihi. Yavasayi namaham lakshmihi. Ketavanam chalagraha. Ketavanam chalagraha. Titikshasmi titikshunam. Titikshasmi titikshunam. Sattvam sattvavatamaham. Sattvam sattvavatamaham. How about seeing Ishvara's glory in the behavior of human beings? The glories in the behavior of human beings. Vyavasayinam. By the way, there's a hiccup in the meter here. We've got 9 syllables here. Anyway, Vyavasayinam, among those who are industrious, Sri Krishna says, Aham, I am Lakshmihi. I am Lakshmi. Could be Lakshmi in the sense of good fortune. Could be Lakshmi in the sense of wealth. Was Elon Musk born into a wealthy family? Maybe some wealth. He had a good education, I suppose. Elon Musk's wealth is self-made. He wasn't born with $1 billion. He made his first billion, he made his second billion, and he hasn't stopped yet. This is the result of being dedicated to, in this case, dedicated to technology and invention. So in this way, Vyavasayinam, among the industrious, Sri Krishna says, I am their glorious accomplishments, including the wealth. He gives an interesting negative example here. Kitavanam, among those who are deceitful, among those who are deceitful, chalagraha, I am their deceit. I am their fraud. How about among those, we'll put this in modern context, among those who create phony digital currency, like Bitcoin? Bitcoin is a digital currency. Suppose you sit down at your computer this afternoon and create your own digital currency. People have done this. They go, they sit at their computer, they figure out how to issue this digital currency with some blockchain and all these technological stuff that goes along with it. They issue their their digital currency and they become overnight billionaires at the expense of many investors. The fact that such fraud can take place at such a scale, the scale of that fraud is mind-boggling. And Sri Krishna here says, he's using intentionally a negative example of that massive fraud just to show what human beings are capable of, the greatest good and the worst fraud. That's kind of the idea here. Titiksha asmi titikshunam. Among those who are patient, I am their patience. Nice. This sounds like Bhagavad Gita. Sattvam sattvavatamaham. Very much like Gita. Among those who are good, I am their goodness. Lovely. It was more like that. He says, Oja saho balavatam. Oja saho balavatam. Karmaham vidhi sattvatam. Karmaham vidhi sattvatam. Sattvatam navamurtinam. Sattvatam navamurtinam. Adir murtiraham para. Adir murti maham. Adi murtihi. Okay. He says, Balavatam, among those who are strength, among the strong, Ojaha aham. I am their energy, the energy which is saha, enduring. I am the enduring energy of those who are mighty. And vidhi, aham, vidhi, o Uddhava, understand that aham, I am. Karma here means ritual. Satvatam, among the people who do rituals, among the devout, I am the rituals they do. And satvavatam, among those who do rituals, So for those who do rituals, what kind of rituals? Nava murtinam, rituals to nine deities. Nine is not a common number of deities. So what is he talking about? That's why we have commentaries. So who are these nine deities that these devout are doing? Remember, Bhagavata Purana is a Vaishnava Purana. There are also Shaiva Puranas. There are also Shakta Puranas, Devi. Bhagavata Purana is a Vaishnava Purana. So who are these deities? The commentator says, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradumna, Aniruddha, Narayana, Hayagriva, Varaha, Narasimha, and Brahmana. These are the nine deities. And he says, among those, aham, I am Para, the greatest of them. Who is that? The Adi Murtihi, the first murti in that list. Who was the first one I mentioned? Vasudeva, not surprising. Among the great, who's greater than me? That sounds like someone who's running for president. I knew I'd work in some politics someplace. All right. One more topic, nature. And this will be our last topic for today. Actually, two more about people, and then nature, and then I have something really special to end the class with here. Vishwavasu purvachatir, Vishwavasu purvachatir, Gandharvapsarasamaham, Gandharvapsarasamaham. Bhudharanamaham staryam, Bhudharanamaham staryam, Gandhamatramaham bhuvaha, Gandhamatramaham bhuvaha. So a little bit more on beings. So in the second line, Gandharva Apsaranam, among all Gandharvas and Apsara, these two deities that dwell in this intermediate region, he says, among all Gandharvas, I am Vishwavasuhu. I have no idea who that is. It's a famous Gandharva. And among all Apsaras, like we're supposed to know all of this? Again, ancient culture. This was their lives. They grew up listening to these stories. They kept telling these stories. So among all the Apsaras, I am the one known as Purvachatihi. Again, I have no idea who. Now, last topic is Ishvara's presence in nature. And this perhaps is the most important topic because you walk out the door right here. I'm looking at all the trees. You walk out the door, it is so easy to see Ishvara's presence in the beauties of nature. So he says, Bhudharanam. Bhudhara is earth. But here he's talking about not earth, that which is sustained by earth, Bhudhara. That which is sustained by earth is an unusual term for a mountain. That which is filled with earth is a mountains are full of what? What else can they be full of? So the Himalayas are made of what? There's snow on the surface, but under the surface, it's all earth. So of those mountains made of earth, Sri Krishna says, Aham Staryam. I am their stability. Those mountains aren't going anywhere. I am the stability of the great mountains. Gandha Matram Aham Bhuvaha. And of the earth, Bhuvaha, I am the Gandha Matram, the smell of earth. You go outside after it rains. What a lovely smell after it rains. This is the last verse, and then I have something real special to share with you. More examples of Ishvara in nature. Apam rasascha paramas. Apam rasascha paramas. Tejishtanam vibhavasuhu. Tejishtanam vibhavasuhu. Prabhasuryendutaranam. Prabhasuryendutaranam. Shabdoham nabhasa paraha. Shabdoham nabhasa paraha. A palm in water. In water, Sri Krishna says, I am the rasa. I am the taste. The paramaha rasaha. I am the exquisite taste of pure water. Now, that may sound strange in modern times. In ancient times, most water wasn't very pure. I have a feeling, unless you were living right on the banks of a fresh river, so that purity of water is something remarkable. Sri Krishna says, I am that purity of pure water. I'm the sweetness of that pure water. And tejishtanam, among all those who shine, nothing shines more brightly than the sun. I am vibhavasuhu. I am the shining sun. And surya indu taranam, for the shining objects in the sky, including Surya, sun, including Indu, moon, and including Tara, the stars, I am Prabha. I am the light with which they shine. And how wonderful it is, we've said many times, to go outside on a dark night where you can actually see the stars, which means in a remote place, and to look up. Who cannot have Ishvara Bhava looking up at the sky? To me, it's a, what do they say, no-brainer as an example of Ishvara Bhava. And the last example he gives here, Shabdaha Aham, I Paraha, Nabasaha for space, Aham, I am Shabdaha, sound, Paraha, the supreme sound in space. A good example, by the way, in ancient times, pre-scientific times, they thought that sound travels through space. We know today that's not true. Sound travels through air. But we have to understand it as it did in ancient times. But to understand it in a more poetic way, you've been in a place outdoors where, with a tremendous echo. You're standing in a valley, and there's a mountainside here. And you say, hello, and you hear back, hello, hello, hello. How wonderful those echoes are. And that's what Sri Krishna is referring to. You go stand in that big, big valley. Hello, 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 hello. Who, you say hello, Ishvara says hello six times. Ishvara Bhava. Okay, to end this class, I just wanted to share something a little special. Because what we're after is Bhava. And there's a lot of Sanskrit vocabulary here, and sometimes all of that gets in the way of Bhava. So I'd like to share with you something here, just for a few minutes. And this will give you the Bhava in simple English, because this is a song I composed for children, and it's a song for children about the glories of God. about the vibhutis. In fact, this chapter, not surprisingly, is inspired by chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita. And I'll sing just the first verse. I'm not going to sing them all, but then I'd like to recite his poetry. So this is for children. And let me get the melody in my head, and I'll sing just the first verse. Tall trees reach up toward the sky. All these are your glories. In your breeze they bend and sigh. All these are your glories. Mountain peaks rise from the plain. All these are your glories. Drinking up your pouring rains. All these are your glories. Children love this stuff, because it's very simple. They relate to it. Trees reaching up towards the sky, bending. Mountain peaks rise from the plains, drinking up your pouring rains. Poetry. Anyway, let me just recite the remaining verses, and you get the sense. So the glories of God for children and somewhat older children, like you and me. How's this? Caterpillars crawl and creep. In cocoons, they fall to sleep, changing to emerge in spring as butterflies with painted wings. All these are your glories. Stars above all twinkle bright, countless little points of light, each a giant blazing sun, with planets circling every one. All these are your glories. Spiders spin their webs of silk. Cows turn green grass into milk. Brown cows turn green grass into white. Go figure. Lambs grow wool to warm our feet. Bees make honey, golden sweet. All these are your glories. This is my silliness. In a purple jelly bean, tiny marvels hide unseen. Atoms, cells, and molecules, wondrous microscopic jewels. All these are your glories. Seeds are sown upon the ground. Little shoots sprout from the mound, soon becoming fields of wheat and the wholesome bread we eat. All these are your glories. From a tiny pine cone seed, giant redwood trees proceed. Tadpoles into frogs transform. Creatures die to be reborn. All these are your glories. Last one. Infinite are grains of sand, more than we can understand, each created by your hand, just as you have always planned. All these are your glories. So if children can get it, we can all get it. All these are your glories. Everything we experience are the glories of Ishvara. Okay, nice for children, nice for older children as well. I have some actually important announcements. Tomorrow, in our Upadesha Sahasri class, we're beginning a new chapter. And a new chapter is a good time to join. If you'd like to join the class, perfect time to join. Beginning of chapter 17 tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we're going to revert to our other satsang schedule. We're going to keep satsang back at 11 o'clock. We tried it at 6. I happen to like sitting outside, but it's not working out quite well. So we're going to revert to our prior plan. We'll have satsang every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Come with your questions. And last comment or announcement. You might remember that half a year ago I announced that we have a Mahabharata video project ongoing. and that is to take the videos of the classes that I taught here over a number of years, and to turn those, actually there weren't videos, they were audio recordings, to turn those audio recordings into videos. So we're using the PowerPoint slides to turn those audios into videos, basically putting the PowerPoint slides along with the audio and some other things as well. We're looking for more volunteers. There are some volunteers who have already formed a group and they're already producing these videos. They have a wonderful setup for producing those videos. If you are comfortable working with PowerPoint and working on a computer, and if you'd like to volunteer for this project and help produce as part of a team, help produce these videos, please send me an email. I'll connect you with the group, and it'd be great to have your help. Okay, we'll conclude with our prayers. Om Ganana Hantva Ganapatigam Vamahe Kavinga Vinamupama Shravastamam Jeshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanas Patahana Shrinvan Uttibhisira Sarinam Om Mahaganapataye Namaha Ishvaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Bhera Vibhagine Vyomavad Vyapta Dehaya Dakshina Murtaye Namaha Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet Asato Ma Satkamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritangamaya Om Shanti 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 Om Tat Sat.